Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
And welcome to Live in Houston, Breaking the Silence. And our program tonight is going to be a special edition, but I'm just thank so much for you being here and taking the time out of your busy schedule, especially this Father's Day holiday on this Sunday evening to spend with us for the next hour. Tonight's going to be a little special, different program. Number one, we're actually on video tonight. I just wanted you to see my son, and hopefully my granddaughter's going to make an appearance if she wakes up here shortly to show the world her first television appearance, and just spend some time together. And I hope and pray that you had a great Father's Day, all those dads. And I realize that these days sometimes aren't pleasant for people. You can't assume that every Mother's Day or every Father's Day is a wonderful and joyous occasion. There's a lot of memories that those times bring and a lot of trauma that sometimes comes from those days. I know holidays are probably the most stressful times of the year, and Father's Day is included in that. I'm not a big fan of Father's Day, but we endure it, and we're going to talk about that here just shortly. I would love to have you call in tonight. I think we're going to take a couple commercial breaks later on in the program, and that'll be for the radio broadcast, because that podcast needs to be clipped up into 20-minute segments or so. So we're going to do that. But somewhere in the middle of this evening, we have no planned agenda. I've talked to Curtis at lunch today and all week last week, and we said, okay, what do you want to talk about? He said, I'm just going to go with the flow. So it's like, uh-oh. So hopefully one of us will have something to talk about. But I do want to invite you to join us next week. Next week's going to be another Breaking the Silence moment. Kelly White from right here in Houston, Texas. Matter of fact, she works right over yonder at Texas Children's Hospital. And she is going to come on and tell the world about what has gone on in her personal life with being married to an alcoholic. And she has a wonderful blog and website that she has up and running that lots of people go to get inspiration. There's not that much information on that out there with people that want to share that side of their life. And Kelly decided that she would like to share that part of her life with the world and with our program. So that's going to be next Sunday night, 8:00 live. Central time right here in Houston. So we'll be back just on the radio only next week, but that'll be Kelly White next week. And then in a few weeks, we will be having our, believe it or not, Don, Doug, I don't even know if you understand, if you remember this, it's been this long. We are almost getting ready to celebrate our year anniversary. And that will be coming up, I believe, in the first week or so of August. And we're working on that to have some special guests for that. So keep joining us for that. Now, I would love having people to call in, but first of all, let me just get my son in here. I don't know if everybody can see him or not, but Curtis, my youngest, my baby of the family, of my three boys, is here tonight. So, Curtis, jump on in and let the whole world see you, and welcome. Can you hear me okay, Kurt?
I sure can. You can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hopefully,
good. I wish I had a view like you, but yeah, I have a book cabinet and some
paper walls. I got the blinds down because the sun was coming in, but I don't know. Your view looks just as good because you got the most precious little daughter in the world, so you got a way better view than I do. I promise you that.
She's somewhere around here, I think.
Hopefully, when she gets up and she's. We had lunch today, and she was just precious. I got to watch her eat pizza. That was a joy, a seven-month-old eating pizza. But anyway, good to have you with us, Curtis. And tonight, I invited Kurt to be on the program tonight because I just wanted to share with the world, and I guess my sons, where I messed up. Where I made mistakes. And if you're watching and listening to the program for the first time tonight, you know, I wrote all about my life in this book, Shattered by the Darkness. And I tell intimately what's happened to me. And it's not easy to go and tell people that you have no idea who they are, what happened to you. And this was my path to freedom. And the releasing of all the baggage that I carried for all these years. And I think maybe tonight is going to be another mile or two down my journey to release more baggage of what I done wrong as a dad. And, you know, I remember when I first got the news that we were expecting our first child, and that was James Matthew. And I remember how I announced that to the world. I was at church, and they played the Rocky theme, and I came running out with my arms raised and pumping, and told everybody that I was expecting. We was expecting our first child, and the thrill of that. And each one as they came with Victor, and then with Curtis. Each one was just an excitement that only a parent would know the joy in that. If you're not a parent, I don't think there's a greater gift than having children and being there. But then when you get to be my age, and I'm 3 years old, when you get to be that old, you start looking back and you go, wow, I wish. Wow, I wish. And if you want to join in on the conversation, matter of fact, if you even have a comment on your own, if you have a question for me or Curtis, if you have something you just want to share, call 888-627-6008. Doug will answer the phone and take good care of you. Then he'll patch you right in. And I'd love to hear from you. Curtis, would you like to hear from some people tonight? If they want to?
I would love to hear from a few people tonight.
Absolutely. So, Curtis, do you have anything you want to share while I take a drink of a nice cool beverage?
Just for like we're doing a book giveaway tonight. So we're going to do the first three people that call in, you can just do a friendly hidey hole, and we'll give away a free book of my father's new book coming out. And
we're giving away books.
I think we're going to
give away. Are you paying for these? Or
we're going to give away three books tonight.
Oh, we're giving away three books. Are we giving away this one? This is Overcoming the Darkness. This is the new one that's coming out, and hopefully this is going to be out. And I am delaying this deliberately because I want you to see the cover of the one that's coming out with it. So give me a chance. I have it on here. You're getting the scoop tonight. This is the one that I'm waiting on with this one, and I want them to all come out together. But I'm going to scoop this in and just bring it right up to the screen like this. And this is this book in a kids format. Me hit it before it goes with the teenagers, When Dark Clouds Come. And in this, it's a real easy read for teenagers of how to deal with trauma, problems, bullying, depression, thoughts that come into your mind when you sit into a room and you feel alone. So it's a downplay of this because this one's going to have another book with it that's going to be the companion journal. And then this one is going to be the book and the journal all in the same book together. So which one are we giving away, Curtis?
We're going to give away the second release of your new book. So
this one?
We'll do Overcome
With this one, and we'll give two or three of these away if you call in. When can they call now?
Just let's say after the first break, the first three people to call in after the first break, we will just give away three books for us.
Okay, we'll do that. Thank you, Curtis, for doing that.
I know we still have the listeners that are listening from the first giveaway. We have not forgot about you. I have the list in my room right now. We have not forgot about you. And this will be three new giveaways right here.
Okay, good. So we'll do that a little bit later on. Then just be watching our website, shatteredbythedarkness.com, the Facebook account. And Curtis takes care of all of that. You know, that's the reason I had kids, let's be real, to take care of my computer electronic work and to mow the lawn. And it didn't work that way. But anyway, now it does. After all these years, I'm finally getting the payback on that. But no, Curtis takes care of all that because I honestly hardly know how to turn on a computer. So he takes care of all that in a great way. So appreciate that. So right after our first break, in about the next 8 minutes, call in and the first three callers. Curtis, you'll say their name or at least the first name?
Yes. Yeah, so whenever we'll get the names from Don, whenever they call in, and then we'll have them say hi-de-ho to us and we'll get moving on.
Yeah, make sure to get their mailing address too, and we'll just say their first name and maybe the city they're from.
There we go.
Because I'm always amazed at all the people that contact me from around the world. Our website and the radio show literally gets hits in China. I talk to several people in Canada all the time, Australia, places that I don't even know where they're at, and we get to talk to people. So that's just, I'm getting texts about people that are listening tonight. So that's great too. Okay. As we go into this, and I kind of was thinking about this afternoon because I don't like to pre-plan anything. I always like to just go with the flow. And, but I just, about 4 o'clock this afternoon, I just pulled out a notepad and just started writing down things that I wish that I had done better. And as a dad, I guess it's hard to, first of all, step back and say what you did wrong in your life. But with all the things that happened to me, I know that I messed up these three boys in so many ways that I wish I hadn't done. But I'm just going to throw out maybe them, take them one at a time, Curtis, and then I want you to jump in. Oh, before we get too much into this, I found these two, Kurt. I'm going to show the world your kindergarten picture.
Oh, mercy.
Your first grade picture. You remember these?
Look at that smile right there. Oh, mercy.
Yeah. Second grade. I can just keep on going. I go right on up. Third grade.
That's when I started making the transition right there.
Yeah. You know, that's that goofy stage that you don't want to take the kids out in public, you know. Fourth grade.
Oh, mercy.
Then I found this. And you got to get real close on this. This is probably one of the joys of my life when you got baptized.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to baptize you. There it is. January, March, April 2nd, 2000, 20 years ago. And there you are. I'm holding you. No, there you are getting ready to go under. It's dark, but that was a joy. That was 20 years ago. That was wonderful. Some great memories.
All the military friends that are listening are going to give you a hard time for that. Thank you.
Well, they can go on to Facebook and cut those down and put them all over the office in the Army office place. The first thing, I think I'm just going to throw out one at a time, and we may only get through one before the first break, but that's fine. We got the whole hour. I think the number one thing that came to my mind, Curtis, is that, and basically this is my apology to my kids. I want to spend this 45 minutes to say I'm sorry that I didn't do better. And the first thing I wrote down, it was immediately in bold letters, was I was thinking and acting like I didn't need help. And that probably was the biggest damage that I did with you, with any relationship I was in, with any employer that I ever worked for, with any friend that I ever had, didn't have many, but any friend, I always tried to act like I was fine and dandy and I didn't need anything from anybody, that I had this under control. When obviously, when you read this, you know I didn't have it under control. And when you get to this one, you're going to find out how many times I really tried to in my life in so many different days because I couldn't control what was going on in my world. And I want to apologize to that. If I could do it all over again, I would let you all in with what was going on years ago so we could talk, so you could understand. Because I think just right now, at you guys' age, you know, 28, 29, and 30, you're just now going, oh, that's the reason you was the way you were. But what do you think about that one, Kurt? Just the first one.
I think I've said it before, but I'll say it for the world again. I mean, you are forgiven, like, for anything that's happened in the past, anything like that. That's all gone. That's forgiven. There's no reason in the world why nobody would forgive you for the situations. But I definitely did notice as growing up, as our relationship did get kind of strained, there would be moments where I would be like, you know, I think I even said, like, are you okay? Like, I even said it a few times, like, this is not healthy. Like, the relationship that me and you did have was not healthy. And your course, your response was, oh, don't worry, we're fine, I'm fine. And I think now, thinking back, like, that should have been red flags. You know, even with the training that I've had in the military for resiliency and, you know, abuse victims inside the military, you know, those are red flags that are taught to us. Like, if somebody's just constantly saying, oh, I'm fine, leave me alone, I'm fine, I'm fine. You know, there's something that you should be able to take upon like that. Like, okay, well, why is he saying like that? Why is it so defensive whenever he says, are you okay? So I definitely did notice that thinking back now growing up.
Yeah, you know, I have a whole hour and a half workshop called I'm Fine because I didn't know you was going to use that term, but I do. Because usually when somebody's approached, when they're dealing with something internally and they don't want it to come out, you end up painting over your emotional being and you keep layering different coats of paint, per se, emotional paint. And even when I had major things that would happen to me, it didn't cause me to peel off the layers of paint, it caused me to put on even thicker coats. Because I think once you start living in a world, and everybody that's known me from my grade school days all the way to now, they probably understand now that I kept painting over. And then on the outside of all that ugliness that was going on inside of me, I painted a happy face and thumbs up and, hey, everything's, I'm fine. I'm fine. Don't worry about it. And I always would. And I have this problem even today. If somebody will corner me or talk to me too much, for instance, if I go into work tomorrow, and sometimes this happens on Monday mornings, and if my boss is listening, I want to be honest, but my boss will say, hey, how was your weekend? And I always say the same thing, fine, because I don't want to talk about my weekend. I don't know if that makes sense. I don't want it to get personal. I want it to always be about the other person. And the reason I do that is so I don't have to reveal what's under all of those layers of paint. And I think if I had to do it over again with my kids, with you and James and Victor, I would have sat down with you around the dinner table because we had a lot of dinners around the dinner table. It may have been TV dinners or those chicken nuggets. You guys ate, you know, the chicken nuggets out of this world. But I would say, hey, you know, Dad's having a bad day. This is what's going on in my life. This is the things that I have experienced. I don't know if I would have went into great detail, but I sure would have expressed it to you that I was hurting. Instead of, as I go down the list, there's going to be a couple other things that kind of tie into this, instead of acting like everything was great. So, Curtis, let me put you on the spot. because of that, did it cause you to handle problems and the way you deal with managing and coping and holding things internally or expressing them? How did that affect you growing up when this was the way I was as a damaged dad?
Oh, 100%. And it's nothing like I've really ever talked about before, but I know my past relationships were very strained because I was a very close person too. And even if I was going through something difficult, you know, whether it be with relationship, work, whatever, I would shut down completely. I wouldn't let people in, wouldn't let people close. And basically, like, that's one of the traits I took from you growing up. I was like, okay, well, you know, if that's how a man should act, and like, you know, you bottle up your emotions. You don't let other people into your life. You don't let people close because, as you stated before, when you let somebody close, that's when the hammer gets brought down on you. And they either use you for their advantage. And I mean, that still happens today. I mean, I do a lot of things for people today to try to make myself look good in their life. You know, hey, I want them to like me. I want them to, you know, be my friend. And then I give and I give and I give. And then I don't get anything in return. And I say to myself, like, oh, that's normal. And that's the way life works. You know, you give, you don't get anything back. So I can definitely say that was one thing growing up I struggled with.
Okay. Well, we got the first one out of the way. So we made it to the first break. And I guess I want you to stay with us. And you're able to call in at 888-627-6008. And we're taking all three of these callers now. Kurt, the first three callers.
We're to start after the break. If we get three callers right after, awesome. If they go out throughout the whole show, awesome.
Okay.
Hopefully you get at least one.
888-627-6008. Just as soon as the commercial starts rolling, feel free to call and we will take your name and your number and you'll get a free book on the other side. So on the other side of this break, we'll be right back for more Breaking the Silence. This couldn't be coming at a better time. Have you ever felt like you were just trapped and couldn't find your way out of darkness? Have you ever felt like you were drowning and fighting to find your next breath? Well, coming in June 2020 will be the second of a three-part trilogy, my new book, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. This new book will provide you a step-by-step approach of how to reach that destination, that important destination called hope. Now, two additional resources are going to be made available when this book is released. One, The Map to Hope. It'll be a handy guide that you can carry around with you, put in your briefcase or put in your purse. And this guide is going to help you find your way when you're stuck in life looking and searching for hope. And then the other resource, the Overcoming the Darkness Companion Journal. I have always believed that journaling is the first step to finding real healing and hope in your life. And this journal will guide you down that path. I'm excited about these resources and this new book that's going to be released in June 2020, the Summer of Hope. Now back to the next segment of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams right here on BBS Radio. Here I come back. Welcome back. And I tell you, anybody call in? Our people don't call in.
All right. I'm just going to jump right into your live program. Hi, Curtis. Happy Father's Day. Dr. Williams, happy Father's Day. Gosh, BBS Radio loves you. I mean, loves you. I just want to tell you that, you know, we have a lot of programs on our network, but not so filled with love, compassion, and promise.
Wow.
And I really, really appreciate that. Appreciate both of you. Happy Father's Day to both of you. Oh, and I love Karina. What a beautiful grandchild, a beautiful daughter you have, Kurt. Just fantastic. Just beautiful. Lucky people. lucky, lucky people.
Well, thank you so much, Doug. We appreciate you. Love you dearly, you and Don. And I tell you what, when and if we get any callers, just put their name in the chat, and Kurt can announce it. And we'll let people know that it's be coming to them shortly.
Will do.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. We've talked about the first doubt or the first thing that I wish that I had done better as a parent. And the second thing I want to kind of apologize for, and, you know, wouldn't it be just awesome to be able to say, hey, I was a perfect dad, but it wasn't there. But I don't want my kids to stand at my funeral and lie about me either. I want them to be able to tell the truth. Hey, the guy had problems. The guy was dealing with his own stuff. And so anyway, the next one that I wanted to tell that I apologize for is that, and I get this from my mom, good, bad, or indifferent. I always tried to fix their problems. And I apologize for most of that. Because most of the time, and if you're listening, if you have kids, especially if you have younger kids, the job as a parent is not to be their friend. The job as the parent is to be their parent, is to give them limits, to give them guidelines, to give them borders. Because the way they understand love and feel love is to know I can do this, but I can't do this. Because if they have just a freedom of doing anything, that gives them an insecurity. They want, whether they tell you or not, kids want to be able to have rules and borders. They need that for their own protection. So never try to be their friend. Be their parent. God's given them to you to protect them. And one thing I am proud of is I protected my kids. I did not. I did not want my kids to have what happened to me happen to them. And I kept them from my dad and was adamant about that to make sure they wasn't abused. But I always tried to fix their problems. I always tried to take care when they got into a situation and not let them fix their own. And Curtis, you're going to find this out, that when your little daughter comes running in and she has a broken toy, you're going to want to automatically fix it and hand it back. Mm-hmm. That's okay on a toy. Matter of fact, with my kids, it was G.I. Joe's. I don't know if you remember G.I. Joe's or not, but the arm would fall off. You put an arm back on a G.I. Joe, it took a major surgery because you had to get that rubber band back and wrap it around where it snapped back in. And that was your job as a parent to fix it. Just there it is, it's fixed, and go on. But when it comes to problems that they get themselves into, I should have stepped back and taught them how to fix their own problem. Give them permission to have the space and the freedom to fix it the way they thought it should have been fixed. And even up to almost the day my mom died, I would call her on the phone and share with her what was going on in my life. And she would automatically, and this is where I get it from, but I don't blame her because I had the choice. She would interrupt me almost and say, Greg, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to fix it. Matter of fact, I'll fix it for you, and I'll contact them, or I'll do this, I'll take care of this, or I'll pay for this. And it automatically just stopped. And it was like, wait, Mom, I don't want you to fix it. I just want to have the ability to share what's going on in my life. And I should have stepped back, first of all, give him a hug and said, I'm with you in this problem, and step back and watch them grow, fixing their own problems. Curtis, what do you think about that?
Yeah, with anybody that comes to me with a problem, I'm the same way. I'm like, well, you know, I did this, so you should do this the same way too. And I never give people options to do something opposite. It's just, well, this is the right way. And, you know, if you don't like it, well, then you're not going to fix your problem. So I definitely noticed that with my tricks as well too. So
did you find yourself handicapped? And do you think that you were given the resources that you needed as a young man to handle problems and emotional issues and, you know, issues at school or bullying or whatever you guys dealt with as kids? Did you think you had the tools?
Sadly, no. I feel like all my problems were taken care of by you, honestly. I mean, with especially growing up in school, I was not the perfect angel. And any time I would get in trouble, it would be like, well, your dad's going to hear about this. And then that was the end of it. He would take care of all my problems without letting me. Well, again, it's nothing bad. You know, heck, if he didn't take care of all the problems, I'd probably be expelled from Raccoon years ago. But it was always something was taken care of. So I was like, I caused trouble. It's taken care of. I don't have to worry about it. And I think at first, you know, even with going into high school, I'm like, well, I can get away with whatever I want. Luckily, I was never arrested, but it was definitely any problem I had, it was taken care of by you.
So with Karina and the preciousness of her, if you had to look at, hey, wait, when she gets to be a certain age, how are you going to handle? Because she's a girl. Different ball game, Curtis. She's a girl. How are you going to handle that princess when she has a problem?
Oh, that's definitely going to be difficult. I mean, I think that's just a father instinct in every father around there. If your child comes to you with a problem, you know, 99% of the fathers out there are going to fix that problem for you. Whether it's your relationship, if you're in trouble, if it's just a random question, you're going to do whatever you can to make that problem go away or fix whatever needs to be fixed. I think that's just a father instinct to everybody. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. You know, there are definitely traits to help teach your kids so they can, you know, go through life without needing you all the time. But it's definitely going to be a difficult road, especially with the way my daughter looks and how adorable she is. She's going to get away with wherever you want. And I think it's going to be hard to say no, or it's going to be hard to kind of let her guide her own life instead of me guiding for her.
Yeah. Okay. I had another one as I was, I think I only have five or six of these, but of things if I had to do it over again. And this is probably the one that I am so guilty of. And I think probably affected everybody that I have ever come in contact with. And even probably today, that one of my biggest flaws as being a father is when I was emotionally dealing with something in my own life, I would disengage. I would absolutely become passive and go sit in a chair and fade out. And I don't know, Curtis, if you caught that growing up. I know I did it a lot, but I would disengage. I would not say, hey, I'm having a bad day, or, you know, dad said something to me, or this brought back a memory. I would always just kind of go and become not a zombie, but just become dead. I would just absolutely pull all the plugs of relationship and just sit there and take time to figure out what was going on and get my emotional being back in order. Did you notice that? And did it affect you in your upbringing when I would do that?
I can remember some instances where I remember it would just be like you would come home from work, something like that, and it was just leave dad alone. Like, don't go to him, you know, come to me. And just leave dad alone. And I do remember that as some vaguely. I'm sure the older brothers kind of dealt with that a little bit more because I was pretty young still. But there were some instances where I can remember where if I would come up to you and be like, oh, hey, I missed you, or hey, how was your day? It was like, and like, yeah, good, like, fine. And it was just kind of brushed me off. So I do vaguely remember that a little bit, just a little bit.
Yeah, that I still have issues with that, and I think one of the chapters in this one deals with that of how to overcome what your natural tendency is when you feel the anxiety coming on. And I guess as I look back on all those years, I was full of it, but I kept pushing it down inside me to where I pretended like it wasn't affecting me. But now as I sit back 35, 40 years later and go, wow, I really was a jerk. I really was this man. I really, and probably still am. I really did have issues, and the way I handle things would not be the way I would handle them today. And honestly, if you looked at me today and compared me to who I was 4 or 5 years ago, I'm a complete different person because I don't have that emotional stress, anxiety inside of me because I let it out. And if you have any kind of trauma in your life, I want to encourage you to get help. I want to encourage you to contact somebody. If you want to contact me, you're welcome to get online and you'll find all the contact numbers and emails and texts or whatever you want to do. Because I think holding this in doesn't just affect you. It affects everybody in your world. And sometimes it's not a good effect. And I apologize again to my kids because I know there was days that I just disengaged. I would go and sit in front of the TV. And maybe I was told in those days, it's all you do is watch TV. But in half of the reality, I wasn't even watching. I was just gazing at it and going through different things in my own head because of what was going on emotionally inside of me. And so I apologize for that. Another one that I think we're going to do one more before we go to the break.
I do got one quick one.
No, please.
This is random, so this is my on the spot for you.
Go for it.
For some reason, this one pops in my head all the time. And we were sitting at the dinner table. And all three of us boys were around the dinner table. We were doing homework. And we were acting up. No shock there. And he kept telling us to get to our homework, get to our homework, get to our homework. And it was something in the book about emotions. It was sadness, something in the book I was reading. And I said, what is sadness? Like, how does somebody cry? Something along those lines. I don't quite remember the exact words. But you looked at me and said, I can make myself cry at any given point. And it's like snap like this. Like, I can make myself cry at any given point. Do you remember saying that? And what would have been the thoughts that went through your mind to make yourself cry? Because you did it. You said, I can make myself cry, tears, just like that. And within seconds, tears started pouring down your face. What would you have been thinking about? Or do you even remember vaguely doing that?
Maybe. I kind of vaguely remember the conversation like that. I can't word for word it by any means, but I can. And all I have to do is think about those days with my dad. And there's so much, and I wish the people that want to know me could see inside of my heart of what happens when a person at a 3 or 4 year old age is being absolutely abused to the utmost degree for years. And all I had to do is think about one of those instances. And Kurt, I have thousands of instances that I can think of. And in that, never feeling loved, always feeling used. Like an object instead of a son. And for the rest of my life, all I have to do is think about one of those instances. And it immediately affects me. And I think even And I think growing up, even at 12 years old, 13 years old, I remember when Grandpa died. It was right before a variety show talent show at the high school. And I was singing a solo, and I just found out the Grandpa had died. And everybody said, "Greg, you won't be able to go on. Just forget it. We'll get somebody else to cover. We just won't even do you tonight. It plays again tomorrow night. Maybe by then you'll be okay." And I said, "No, this is no big deal," because I could absolutely cut every one of my emotions away because I was so used to that. And then I remember singing at my grandpa's funeral. And then after that, I remember speaking at almost every one of my family members' funerals, whether it was my brother, my dad, and I go right on down the list of all of them. And everybody said, how was you able to do that? You're so strong. No, I wasn't. I was so good at putting everything in the back corner. This is not reality. I can cut myself off and be exactly who I want to be at any given time and not let emotions come in. And if you've been there, done that, and you've played the game like I did for all of those years, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it will end up devastating you because I didn't know who I was, who I am, until I finally said, "Oh, wait, this is destroying me," because the emotional constitution within me was crumbling and I couldn't hide it anymore. And it was taking its toll on me emotionally and every lead that you have, emotionally, physically, spiritually, all of those, it was just kind of falling in on me. But I remember that vividly. But yeah, all I have to do is think about one of those instances, and I immediately go into a dark place, and it's hard to get out really fast. I tell you what, we're going to go to the last break, so we want to make sure we let you know about that. If you want to call in, you're welcome to at 888-627-6008. Even if there's any dads out there that want to call in, tell us one of the things that you think if you had to do it over again, you would do different. I'd love to hear from you at 888-627-6008. And we'll be right back with the final segment of Breaking the Silence right after this commercial. Thanks.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back for the last, we only have about 14 minutes left, so we want to thank you for being with us tonight. Feel free to call in. We'd love to hear from you. A lot of people don't like calling in. I don't know why. Maybe this is, it only took me 35 years to figure out how to talk about it, so I'm expecting you to figure this out real quick. But I tell you what, we do have a caller tonight. So Annie, you are online too. Welcome, dear, and to the program. Can you hear us?
I can.
Hey, how are you?
I'm just fine. I called in with a reminder for you two guys.
Okay.
The only perfect father this world has ever had is God himself. And the only perfect son this world has ever had is Jesus Christ, the Son. And so as a person who's known you two guys and the rest of your family for 9 years now, almost 9 years, there is a miracle that I've observed from the person I knew in the first few years of knowing you. You've described yourself pretty well tonight. To the person you are now, you always refer to watching videos in heaven of these monumental things that have taken place in the history of the earth, and what fun it would be to watch a video of that thing that happened 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
The video of Greg Williams is going to be stunning to see, to step back and see the metamorphosis from the damaged person that still has some damage because it will remain for the rest of your life. But the spiritual renewal you've gone through, the getting comfortable with yourself, being able to help other people with your pain, is a beautiful thing to see and know. And I'm just so proud of both of you guys. And I just wanted to say that.
Well, thank you, Annie. I appreciate that. And Annie is my adopted mom. She's my mom on earth, the only one I have. So I appreciate that, Annie. Thank you for that.
Bye.
I appreciate that. Good night. Thank you for calling in. You know, I think I'm glad other people notice, because I notice it in me. And it's not praiseworthy by any means, but I noticed the release of not having to play the game anymore. This is me. And everybody that wants that freedom and to get that hope, that's what I really want this one to do for you. Because when you take the things that I talk about in this and put it along with the journal and say, okay, now take it from here and put it into your own personal life and tell us about it. Tell yourself about it and start writing it down, because journaling was my avenue of being able to release it. Your body is not built to take all of that pain and anxiety and emotion inside without the release. And until you experience truth and can face truth and finally admit to truth, can you experience the freedom and what this word here is, hope. Because there is no hope if you don't do that, because you're still holding it and saying, I can take care of it, I can take care of it. So journaling to me was that way of being able to do that. So I'm hoping and praying and wishing that when this comes back that you know, it just sells. And not for the money, I don't worry about the money, but the people can receive the release of, oh, this is how to do it. And it's a very step by step by step. And the way I've learned it was by making every one of those mistakes. As Annie said, I'm going to continue probably doing that, because of when you go through this much trauma, to not step back and do something wrong. But we're people. It's called life. It's called human beings. But I'm not going to hold it in like I have in the past, and because that's so damning. Kurt, you got anything thought on what Annie said before we move on to the next one?
I mean, I agree with her 100% with the relationship from, you know, when I was probably 10, 11, 12, 13, even going off to the military when I was 18, you know, from that journey from that age to now, it's completely day and night. Like, it's completely day and night different. So 100% Annie was right on the money.
I think another one of the things that that I want to make sure dads hear tonight, if they listen to this on the playbacks on Facebooks and on our websites and BBS Radio and all the different places, YouTube, you can get this on YouTube tomorrow or Tuesday. Is one of the things that I really want to apologize to. And it's so funny how the world convinces you that I was doing the right thing, is I worked my fanny off. And I worked so hard that I thought being gone and out in the world making the money that I made to be able to swing through McDonald's every night to pick you up the latest Happy Meal toys and come home with other Nintendo games. And here you go, kids. Here's more toys. Here's more stuff. But I would imagine all three of you would say, Dad, we would prefer you just to stay at home and let us be with you. We don't care about the junk that you keep bringing us. But I worked so hard, and I was never there. Yeah, we did the little leagues, and I remember playing down the yard and hitting pop flies and grounders to you boys. I love that. That's one, probably one of the highlights of my life is doing that with you in the side yard and playing. But it just seems like I was so often absent. And I think what this world is screaming for, I even think some way, with not getting political, that a lot of the rage that's going on in the streets today is because there wasn't fathers that were there to be able to help and to be the dads that they needed to be. And I was one of those because I was always busy working. And I don't know if that one hits a sore point with you, Curtis, or not, but I'd love to hear your impact on that. But it seemed like I wasn't there a lot. I would work some days 20 hours a day, come home, sleep for a couple hours, and then the phone would ring and I have to go back to work. I think if every one of your births, I left the labor room to go to work and to come back. I was there for every one of them, but I ended up going, I was in and out because I was always called to work. And what's your thoughts on that, Kurt?
I definitely remember that growing up. It was mainly, I think some days you were home. You know, we would go to church every Sunday, so that was the mornings with you. And, of course, the Little League and all those things, but mainly – I would wake up to maybe seeing you leave the house before I went to school, and then I would maybe wake up when you came home. And I definitely didn't notice, like, well, he's not here very often, but we were very well taken care of. Always had food, always had toys, always had all those little trinkets that you would give us. But I 100% agree. I would have much rather had that, you know, strong relationship with spending more time with you, just even if we were just watching TV, watching Andy or Lucy. Just growing up, you know, I would much rather had those memories than, you know, getting Super Mario or, you know, some kind of little game. So I do agree with that.
Well, no, we did get pretty good at those games, though. I have to admit that we would play those Nintendo games still. And we wore those games out, I tell you what. But I think too many times those games became your babysitter instead of me sitting beside there with you playing them. Because I did that a lot, but not as half as much as what you were in your room playing with your other brothers waiting for me to get home from work. So it became more of a babysitter than not. One more, and I think that's probably going to take us to the end, but this one hits real. I wrote a lot on this, and I'll show you a little notepad here, but this one goes from here all the way down with the thoughts that I had when I was going writing this down this afternoon on this little notepad. But one of my biggest mistakes was I wasn't being vulnerable enough. I didn't let the kids see who I really was. Anything emotional in me, I kept. They may have saw and, oh, a dad never wants to say this. They may have saw the outcome of the emotional problem of me holding it in and me taking it out on them in anger. When I would be short with them, or I would yell at them or send them to the rooms or whatever for something that they didn't even do. But because I was being so emotional, I took it out. And why do we do that? We always take it out on the ones we love the most. But what we do, but I didn't take time to let them see the emotional side of me and to see my pain. And I wanted to be the source of their strength. However, strength is not the absence of emotion or hurt. Strength is the ability to be able to deal with the emotion and hurt in a positive way. And that's where you get the resiliency at, is you show them how to make it through that. And I just didn't, I was so bad at that. I didn't want anybody to see that I was vulnerable. I wanted to be this person, and I made that person up, and I would do anything to keep that image. But when inside, when alone, when at work, I was emotionally a whole different other person than I should have been. Kurt, what do you think about my vulnerability and not showing you who I really was? Did that affect you in growing up?
I think, well, not maybe the younger years, because again, I was probably too naive or just too small to really understand what was going on. But, you know, in my teenager years and becoming an adult, it was definitely like it was your way and there was no other way around it. You know, you never let us try to change your mind. It was, even if we had a valid argument, it was, nope, that's not the way it goes. And I can definitely sense that there was never a connection to that. I mean, there was always that wall. Always that wall. And I mean, there was sometimes, of course, with any father, any parent out there, there's always those anger moments where you would feel like, okay, well, I didn't do anything wrong, but he's still angry, so I'm going to try not to do that anymore. So that's, but again, that's with any parent. You know, you can't knock yourself for that. That's any parent ever lived is going to have those anger moments. But it took a little while to get over that, to learn from those mistakes and learn from those, you know, I guess you would say bad traits, as to not envision those on my family and my loved ones. So it did take a little bit of time to get over those and realize, okay, well, you know, this is how my father did it, but, you know, my father's not always right. So I have to take, you know, to make not even a perfect person, but take a good person, you take some of these bad traits, good traits, and mixed traits, and you put that all into one person, and you kind of funnel that. That's what you make to a good person. So it's like, okay, well, I know this is a bad trait, but I need to know it. I need to caress it so I know it so I don't do it. And yeah, take the good trait and do the good trait and take that mix, you know, where it could be a good trait, could be a bad trait, and mix that into something else. And that's how you make yourself a good person. So even though you might have made mistakes, we all make mistakes, but people learn from mistakes. And I learn from your mistakes. And that's who I am today. And that's why I'm proud of the man I am today, because I learned from your good ones, I learned from your bad ones, and I learned from your mistakes. I learned from your triumphs. And that's why I'm proud of who I am today, and that's why I'm proud of who you are today.
I appreciate that. If I had to, because we only have about a minute or two, if we had to say, hey, wait, we talked about all this negative stuff, let's end on a positive, Curtis. What would be one thing? And if you can't find it, I understand. But what would be one thing that I did as a dad, as a parent, that you want to make sure that precious little princess of yours has? What would that be that you want to make sure that when I'm dead and gone and she's 20 years old, you'll say, hey, Dad had a lot of problems, but the one thing about him is this that I want you to remember about him? What would that be?
It's to never let her go one single day without knowing that I love her and I'm proud of her. And again, that's nothing against you. Please, it's just, that was one of the biggest struggles too, is that sometimes I felt like I wasn't making you proud or I wasn't loved by you because of my mistakes. So I want to make sure that my daughter, or if I do have more kids, that I'm going to be proud of them. I'm going to love them no matter what they do in life. You got to be proud and you got to be loved. And for all the fathers listening, to all the mothers, to everybody that's listening, to them, do not ever let your kid go to sleep one single night without them knowing that you're proud of them and that you love them dearly.
Fantastic. That's a great way to end the program, Kurt. I appreciate you being here, and that's perfect. So thank you for that. And I want you to know, and I want the other two boys to know, they weren't invited to be here tonight. So it wasn't like I didn't want them here or they didn't want to be here. It's just that this was between me and you. This was our idea. And I wanted to run with that, just to spend some time with you. But we'll put them on anytime they want to come on and we'll talk. But from the bottom of my heart, I'm proud of you, not only for the service that you've given to our country and still giving in the United States Army. But, you know, Kurt, that's not why I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you because of who you are and the young man that you have become. And when I see you in places like church and the way you help people, the way you run to them and care for them, even when we had a situation where there was an accident and somebody hurt themselves, I heard that you were the first one there to be able to help and assist. And that's the kind of person you are. So if I've done nothing right, you've learned that from someplace of how to love and care for people and be there and support them. And I appreciate that. And I am proud of you and Melissa and little Karina. And it's a joy to have you in my life. And I love you dearly. And thank you for being there with me on the program.
I love you, Dad. I'm proud of you.
I appreciate it. I'm proud of you, too. Thank you for being with us tonight. And I always want to end with the same thing. First of all, I want to invite you back next week for Kelly White. That will be on the program. And she'll be talking about alcoholism and the difficulty of that, and sharing from the bottom of her heart all her stories that she's going to be sharing with that next week, Sunday night at 8 o'clock Central Time. But as we always end the program, always want to let you know that no matter what's happened to you in the past, no matter what kind of dad that you have been or you are right now, I want to let you know, don't wait 25, 30 years to get it right. I want to let you know, now's the day, now's the time to change and find the hope, because there is always, always hope. As long as you're breathing, there's always hope, no matter what. Hang on to that hope, search for that hope, and take a step tonight towards that hope. And it's in you, it's in your Creator, and you have to continue to strive for that. So remember, no matter what, there's always hope. Join us right here for another edition next week of Breaking the Silence, live from Houston, Texas, the most beautiful city in the world. 8 o'clock Sunday night next week. God bless you. Have an awesome week, and we'll see you next week at the same time. God bless. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.